Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Right there, there it is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored! Musial ran first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam, and a crease! The kicker can't trip him up! Headed for the end zone! Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. Brower. Rebound. He scores. Trevor. The former Blackhawk has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you until 12 o'clock. We think if we execute, we can have a good program today. We're going to have, to talk a little baseball, one of the best in the business, Bob Nightingale from USA Today. We're going to talk some hockey with Chris Kerber, the voice of the Blues at 11:20 as they prep for a big one tonight at the Enterprise Center. And we're also going to talk a little soccer with Bill McDermott, the passing of a legend in St. Louis, or a good player, I should say, and also some conversation about what's going on with the MLS. Sacramento seems to be making some progress, while the MLS for the Lou has not done anything publicly lately. So we'll find out what's happening there. If you'd like to be a part of the program, you can do so. We have the outstanding Maryville University listener line, and that's 855-282-8255. And if you'd like to text us, you can do that too. That same number, 855-282-8255. Our opening monologue is brought to you by the great people at Gateway Motorsports Park. And let's begin with lap one. The Cardinals, they are compelling. And their MO right now is they don't show up till late. They don't. But when they do, it's been enough to win. Jameson Taillon looked unhittable. Then a fellow named Paul DeJong started the scoring.
And DeJong hits one out to deep left field. It's at the wall. Gone! Cardinals finally get on the board. That snaps 11 in a row, set down by Taillon. And Paul DeJong connects.
Then after that, it was time for Harrison Bader.
And Bader hits it a ton. Into left center. Will it go? It is gone! It's over the wall and left center, and we are tied!
Then in the 10th, after Colton Wong tripled, Tyler O'Neill became a hero.
Hits it through the right side and a base hit, and the Cardinals go on top. Tyler O'Neill makes it 4-3 St. Louis.
This team never gives up. It just shows us that, we're a bloop and a blast away from being in every game. So for us, it's about just trying to get better as the game goes on, try to get guys on base late and put the pressure on them.
What a great win. What drama. What TV ratings for Fox Sports Midwest. It's a freaking Wednesday night in the first week of the season in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and you look dead, and yet that game turns out to be so great, and you can't turn it off. Unbelievable. So your starting pitching wasn't great. Your defense, Dexter Fowler dropped a ball, wasn't perfect either. But you sweep a series and you come home 500. 500. And then you have the opener. Lap two. Some random Cardinal thoughts. Now let's be honest here, folks. I want to ask you a question. And you can text in your response. And I want a response from Lucas and Brian too. It's 855-282-8255. When you read the Derek Gould tweet that Marcell Ozuna had a strain on his side, be honest, what were your thoughts? Was it number one, oh, good, Jose Martinez gets to play? Or number two, was it because he's not in great shape? Or was it something else?
My first thought was, because I think Gould initially said that the Cardinals don't believe it is serious or that it's a major issue. And my thought was, do they not think it's a major issue because they truly don't think the injury is bad, or because they actually might prefer playing Jose Martinez over Marcelo Zuna at this point in time? It's got to be both. He's out of shape, and he strained something. But you're okay because you have a guy who probably gives
you a better chance
equitable to win. Defensively, at least. Yes. I mean, Martinez isn't good in left, but neither is Marcel. And hitting-wise, I think at this point you would – I know he was hitless last night – but Martinez, you might prefer at the plate now than Marcel, at least all things equal at the moment.
And Jose can throw.
Yes.
How about Lucas? Your first thought was?
A little bit of both. Like, there obviously wasn't something right with Ozuna. He wasn't really tearing the cover off the ball. And you have a guy in Jose Martinez who either rides the bench or just gets slotted into the three or four spot in the lineup. So.
Yeah. I tell you, nobody was, like, negative. I mean, gosh, he's had a strain. Nobody thought that in St. Louis. Not one person. I had a baseball observer tell me he would bet right now Marcelo Zuna doesn't finish the season as a Cardinal.
Yeah, I would bet that too.
Other quickies. How about the grace on that play in the 10th by Paul Goldschmidt at first, running it down and then making that throw so effortlessly? Best fielding first baseman in Cardinals history, not named Keith Hernandez? Maybe. I know we're only a week in, but he's got gold gloves on his resume already. He just looks good. Albert was good. I think this guy is great defensively. Who am I leaving out? McGuire was okay there, but he doesn't have Goldschmidt's range. I don't think McGuire threw. He had a little bit of an arm issue at times.
Yeah, I mean, Alan Craig was average. Matt Adams was
Matt wasn't terrible.
No. Matt Carpenter was okay, but I don't think any of those guys make that play. Last night, I know it's a foul ball, and it doesn't hurt you if he doesn't catch it, but you have to wonder, do you win that game if he misses that?
Absolutely, yeah.
That was a really, really big play.
What I saw out of Andrew Miller last night was good. Not overpowering, but baby steps. He got the ball over the plate. And let's face it, I don't think at his age he's going to be hitting 98. But he was hitting 93. I don't know if he hit 94 last night, but... And by the way, will a Cardinals starter other than Michael Wacha have a quality start? We need that on Friday with Jack Flaherty. Lap 3. Gateway Motorsports Park, opening monologue. Athletes aging gracefully. Doesn't happen that often, does it? Willie Mays stumbling in center field. Michael Jordan, not a high wire act in Washington. But the worst was Muhammad Ali, Larry Holmes, 1980. Ali had already shown signs of Parkinson's, and Larry really didn't want to beat him up, but he did beat him up. Here's Larry Holmes after the fight with Howard Cosell.
Larry, I'd like you to explain why you've been crying.
You know, so I really respect a whole lot, really respect Ali a whole lot.
It hurt you to punish him that way, didn't it?
I feel that he fought one of the baddest heavyweight in the world today, and you cannot take credit from him.
Yeah, he just didn't want to do it. It was a terrible fight to see Ali at that stage. And he had other ones after that that were worse. I think the Trevor Burbick one was even worse. It's just not a pretty sight to see a great athlete at the end not have it. Because you never want to feel like it's over, and the money in competition high is so crazy good. I bring this all up because... I wonder if we're facing the issue right now with Adam Wainwright. Now, I know many of you are thinking, well, we've been there for 2 years now. It's only one start, though. I'm not saying at all. But I want you to hear this question and answer with Ricky Horton yesterday on the topic. Not saying this will happen, Rick, but let's just say Adam Wainwright has two more starts where he goes 4 innings, 4 earned runs. Would he get a chance to get a fourth start?
That's a good question. I would say that would be on the table, would be what I would say. And they'd have to evaluate that based on, obviously, several factors, how he feels about it, his confidence level, his work between starts, did he find something? Because, you know, Adam's a tinkerer, and he's at the stage of his career where he needs to tinker. I thought he changed his arm angle from inning number one to inning number two in Pittsburgh. I thought he dropped his arm angle. And I've seen him pitch enough to see the difference on TV that this is a guy that was making an adjustment on a fly because he couldn't throw a strike with a fastball over the top. So he went to three quarters and was kind of just throwing more of a sidearm sinker almost. And that seemed to work. So he's a tinkerer. He's going to figure it out. So if he figures something out, Frank, even if the results aren't good the next two starts, and again, you're not saying it's going to happen, but you know, if it does happen, I think it's certainly on the table what the next step is.
Yeah, and remember, cold day, couldn't grip it, still plenty of time, and was relatively effective in spring training. So we'll find out. By the way, those good question things.
I think, wanted that replay for that reason.
Yeah. This Martin contest, it's like Secretary at the Belmont. I mean, the last time Martin got one was like Moby Dick was a guppy. Come on now. All right, lap four. Blues and Blackhawks. Oh, by the way, Andrew Miller's fastest pitch last night was actually 95.8. All right, Blues and Blackhawks. I don't know how the Blackhawks, first of all, with two of the most exquisite talents in the league in Kane and Toews, can't be one of the 16 teams in the postseason. Oh, I know Corey Crawford missed 2 months and they ranked 30th in goals allowed. But gosh, those guys are good. They are unbelievable. I mean, it's like having Jerry West and Elgin Baylor and not even making the playoffs. I don't think the Blues played great last night, but the Vladimir Tarasenko and David Perron goals were really good. And I tell you, Pat Maroon made a great play. I mean, a great play to set up the last one. 38 seconds to go. Let's take a listen.
Parayko able to take it in the long pass ahead. Maroon able to step by one and gain the zone. Maroon able to take it ahead. Two on around in front. A couple of times they score! The Blues have tied it up!
And Maroon was moving around really good players to set up Bozak for the goal. So, you just have a feeling that somehow the Blues and Preds are going to be matched up. And sometime next Wednesday night, the Blues and Predators are going to drop the puck. Maybe at 8:30. We'll talk to Chris Kerber about that a little bit later. But whether the game's in Nashville or in St. Louis, that's the debate here in the final couple of games. Entertaining game last night, but Blues were not at their best. It is interesting, and I don't think Jake Allen played terrible at all. But with Jake Allen, there's usually a reason, you know, they just find a way to lose. And then with Jordan Binnington, they just find a way to win. I guess Binnington will get the final two starts tonight, of course, and then Saturday against Vancouver. Thoughts on the Blues? Give us a call. Give us a text. Lap five. So, Ernie DiGregorio came up yesterday on this program because he's going into the basketball, Collegiate Basketball Hall of Fame. And Matt Rocchio was our broadcast engineer, and he is a basketball fanatic. And I told him, because he had never heard of DiGregorio, to go YouTube some video of him. And we're looking at this stuff during the break. It's unbelievable. I mean, he is throwing... In fact, we're going to have Bill McDermott on later on. He can tell the story. But he's throwing these mid-court, behind-the-back passes, threading the needle. He was unbelievable. So it got me to thinking of my 10 best passers of all time. Magic Johnson is probably number one. Now, the rest of these are not in any particular order, but it's my top 10. Larry Bird is on the list. Probably the best passing forward ever. John Stockton, I mean, who was ever better at the pick and roll? What was the better duo than Stockton to Malone? Steve Nash, well, he's a two-time MVP, and not because he was scoring 25 points a game, but mainly because of his great passing. He shot it well, but Steve Nash, for sure. Nate Archibald, he's the only guy in NBA history to lead the league in scoring and assist in the same season. Mark Jackson, statistically, I mean, he's up there in the top three or four. Gosh, was he a great passer. And I think we got to pay homage as we go old school to Bob Cousy. Look at some of Cousy's passes. Look at some of those passes to Bill Russell and Tom Heinsohn and Satch Sanders. He was crazy. Now, this next one's going to sound crazy. Well, if you think I'm crazy, go YouTube highlights of the 1977 NBA Finals between Portland and the 76ers. Because this guy in his prime was the best passing center of all time, and his name is Bill Walton. Nobody hit cutters like Bill Walton. Gosh, was he great to watch. Then I'd put Jason Kidd up there, and then I think Tony Parker would also make the top 10 list. Who are we leaving out? Who would be on the top 10 list of passers of all time in basketball history? All right, lap six. Stream of consciousness. I interviewed three different Hall of Famers yesterday, Tony La Russa, and then Ozzie Smith and Bob Gibson together. And Ozzie kind of like was poking at Gibson, and he said, you know, if I would have decided to pitch, nobody even would have heard the name Bob Gibson. And then I asked Gibson, I go, do you think you would have won more games if you had Ozzie Smith as your everyday shortstop? And Gibson said, well, he wasn't a very good hitter. I don't know. And they were really going back and forth. It was just classic. I loved it. Another thought. So I got a friend who is like crazy in love with their new boyfriend. And so Monique said, well, what do you think like really in love means? And I said, well, it means that this person is the last person you think about when you go to bed and the first person you think about when you wake up. And I said, who is it for you, Monique? And she goes, well, to be honest, it's probably Ted, our dog, because Ted's right next to her and Ted's the greatest of all time. And I said, it's interesting for me because the last person I think about when I go to bed now is Tony Soprano. We watch The Sopranos every night. And so, ironically, I got an email from a friend. And it's called the Sopranos Italian Wedding Test. So let me read this to you. I was a very happy man. My wonderful girlfriend and I had been dating for over a year, so we decided to get married. There was only one thing bothering me. It was her beautiful younger sister. My prospective sister-in-law was 22, wore tight miniskirts, and generally was braless. She would regularly strut around me, and I was very impressed with her. It had to be deliberate because she never did it when she was near anyone else. One day, her little sister called and asked me to come over to check out the wedding invitations. She was alone when I arrived. She whispered to me that she had feelings and desires that she could not overcome. She told me she wanted me just once before I got married and committed my life to her big sister. Well, I was in total shock and couldn't say a word. She said, I'm going upstairs to my bedroom, and if you would like one last wild fling, just come up. I was stunned and frozen in shock as I watched her walk up the steps. I stood there for a moment, then turned and made a beeline straight to the front door. I opened the door and headed straight towards my car. Lo and behold, my entire family was standing outside, all clapping. With tears in his eyes, my father-in-law hugged me and said, "We are very happy that you have passed our little test. We couldn't ask for a better man for our daughter. Welcome to the family." And the moral to the story? Always keep your condoms in your car. Oh, that's terrible. All right, those are some of my thoughts. Let's hear some of yours. The Blues and the Preds, do you believe that's what's going to happen? And your confidence level in the team you've beaten 4 out of 5 times. The Cardinals, and not showing up until a little later, but finding a way to win. Are you bullish on Adam Wainwright? Are you at all concerned about Marcell Ozuna? Your thoughts. 855-282-8255. That's the Maryville University listener line. And if you have any thoughts about Maryville University, if you'd like to get more information, Well, go to maryville.edu. Their Digital World program provides students with free iPads loaded with textbooks and more than 150 apps. We'll take a short time out. When we come back, we will be joined by Bob Nightingale.